And just chat about that question. How would you describe faith? How would you describe faith? In a few minutes, I'm just going to get us underway. But over to you guys. Thank you. All right. Well, sorry to interject into any of those conversations you might be having. Good afternoon. For those of you who haven't met me, my name is Glenn. I'm part of the staff team here at the Aldersgate Talks. And it's great to see you as we finish our Christianity 101 series here today. And we're thinking about this question, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Now, recently, I discovered the three-legged stool model, which many of you probably know about. It's something that many successful businesses have built their empires upon. Take, for example, McDonald's. I don't know if you know McDonald's three-legged stool strategy. Does anyone know what it is? Shout out, any guesses? No, well, it's three things. It's the franchise, the supplier, and the company itself. So the company, the McDonald's logo itself. Those are the three things which McDonald's use, their franchisees, the suppliers, and then the McDonald's company, or the logo. And the idea is that in order for a company to grow and be profitable, those three essential elements, not everything from McDonald's, by the way, but three essential elements are needed, and when balanced, they contribute to a stable and successful business. It's the foundation. Now, what might surprise you, though, is that this model isn't modern or it's something new. And I'm not talking about the medieval age of feudal market trading here, before you think. Now, in Luke's gospel account, the writer Luke wants to give his readers absolute certainty in who Jesus is and all the things he's done. Now, the reason for this is that whoever reads Luke's gospel, their faith would be established, a foundation would be laid, and it would enable them to grow. And this is because real faith isn't a leap in the dark. It isn't something you just wish upon. It is built upon weight of evidence. And in order for us to place our weight or confidence upon it, Luke gives us something to believe in. Because for the Christian faith, nothing is more important than the account of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, just to bring you up to speed of everything we've looked at here, last week we were thinking about how Jesus had been wrongly trialed and sentenced to death on a cross. There, Jesus hung with criminals, despite having done nothing wrong himself. Now, last week we looked at how this was God's plan for saving us from the consequences of sin. Jesus took the punishment we deserved for every act of sin we've committed in our lives. Jesus, who is God's King, died for us, we, the spiritually lost, so that we could be rescued. But now Jesus is dead in Luke's gospel. The question still remains. What happened after Jesus' death? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? How do we know that Jesus is truly alive today? And why does it matter that Jesus is alive? And this is something that we think about every Easter. Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then the gospel, the good news, that we are rescued from the penalty of sin, is pointless. Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then it would prove that it wasn't who he claimed to be, and that God's promises were false. Now remember what Jesus told his followers back in Luke chapter 18. You can read along with me here if you turn to page 60 of your Luke's Gospels. Turn to page 60 here with me. Jesus said this, and you can follow along with me here at the bottom of page 60. Jesus said these words, "Everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spat upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." Okay, you're probably wondering at this point, what is the three-legged stool all about? What has it got to do with us? Well, in order for us to understand the truth of everything Jesus said was true, Luke gives us three pieces of evidence upon which we are to base our understanding upon and see that Jesus did rise from the dead, just as he promised here in Luke chapter 18. And we've got three E's to help us to remember this. The empty tomb, the explanation of the scriptures, and the eyewitness accounts. Okay, first thing here, the empty tomb as we'll put together our stool. So, just after Jesus died, Luke tells us who buried Jesus. So let's read it together here in Luke chapter 23 and verses 15 to 53. You can follow along with me here on page 77. Verse 50. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever yet been laid. Now those who watched this happen were the women who watched on and saw where Jesus was placed in verse 55. They couldn't do much more as the Sabbath was drawing near, and according to Jewish custom, they had to prepare themselves for that day, which meant not touching Jesus' body as it was considered unclean. But on Sunday morning, if we fast forward, something incredible happened, which you can see for yourself. Let's read chapter 24 on page 77. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now notice there how Jesus' body was gone. The women had told Jesus' followers what had happened, and Peter, one of Jesus' closest followers, ran to the tomb. And in verse 12, Luke records for us what he saw. You can follow along with me just over the page. Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. The tomb was empty. The explanation for this, for why this has happened, comes from two messengers who give this message to the women back in verse 5. They say this, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." Just as Jesus promised back in Luke chapter 18, he would rise and the tomb he was buried in would be empty. But this wasn't just a promise Jesus pulled out of thin air. He delivered the promise that God promised would happen in his word. And so our next piece of evidence, and the most crucial piece, is the explanation of the scriptures. Now Luke takes us to a road here between Jerusalem and a town called Emmaus, where two individuals were walking and chatting about the recent events surrounding Jesus' death. But look at what happens here in verse 15. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" They stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" Now notice what Cleopas says. This event here must have been cataclysmic for everyone to know about it. And you can imagine the furore that it caused. It's like if you mention the date 9/11. Everyone remembers. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. And everyone remembers where they were in that time. This is all of that scale in Jerusalem. Everyone knows what happened. Look at verse 19 here with me. Cleopas explains, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him." Now they thought Jesus would be the one that had come to free Israel. But when they mentioned what the women saw, this stranger would explain everything to them. Look over at verse 25. The stranger says, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have spoken, Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Now, Jesus takes everything written in the Old Testament here. That's the first half of the Bible that we have today. And as he is walking with them, he explains how everything speaks of him, who he is, and all that he would do. Now, notice that they were spiritually blind to seeing who Jesus is. But Jesus reveals himself to them through his word. And once they recognize who he is, look at what they say in verse 32. They said to each other, "Did our hearts not burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Now, my imagination is whirring at this point. I'd love to think, what was Jesus talking to these two individuals about? Did Jesus take something like Isaiah 53 to show that God's servant must take our place to bear our sins and be punished for it? Or did Jesus take Psalm 16 and reveal that because he followed God's will, he could take heart in the promise that was given that the Lord wouldn't abandon his soul to death or let his Holy One, Jesus, see corruption? Now, whatever it was, it left these two hungry for more. Their hearts burned at the thought that Jesus was alive because God promised in his word that it was so. And that promise was fulfilled before their very eyes as Jesus is made known and as he explained God's word to them. And because Jesus explained it through him, his word, they could then see who Jesus rightly was. He was God's king. He died and is alive before them. And they could share the news as eyewitnesses who understood the explanation of God's word. And that's what we'll see our final puzzle piece here, our final stool, our leg is right here. Now, look here with what happens. With haste, they ran back to Jerusalem. And in finding the 11 close followers of Jesus, they shared the news. But something more extraordinary happened in that moment. Look at verse 36 here with me, at the bottom of page 79. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. Now, it's like one of those plot twists you see in a TV series. You think the main character is killed off and everything feels hopeless. But just at the end of the season finale, you see his face standing in the distance. But you have to wait until and find out how he survived. Now, the only thing that we see here is that in Luke's gospel, Jesus didn't survive. He definitely died on the cross. He was buried, and yet here he is standing in front of them. And so it's funny how their logical explanation for him being there is that this must be a ghost. And yet Jesus proves to them that he's not. Look at what he says and does here. Jesus says in verse 39, "See my hands and my feet, that it is myself." He shows them where the nails that were driven into him as he hung on that cross. And yet that still wasn't enough. They weren't sure. And so he asked them very simply. Verse 41, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Now, I don't know what your experience of ghosts is like, but we all know one thing for sure. Ghosts don't eat, do they? And we know that to be true of imaginary things. And so Jesus gives us evidence here to prove that he's alive. But the point of the resurrection isn't just to prove that Jesus did it and that's it. It's much, much more. Listen to how Jesus puts it at the end of Luke's gospel here. Jesus says these words, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Jesus wants his people to know the certainty of God's word is proved in the good news, the gospel of who Jesus is, why he came, and what he did for us on the cross. And with faith, we can put our full weight upon it, knowing that Jesus died for our sins, and he's alive to prove that sin and death has been beaten. Now, if I have confidence here to prove, or faith, that this stool will hold my weight if I stand upon it, and will not break if I put my weight on it, I'll not do it. What faith or confidence are we putting in the resurrection for us to be right with God? A little? A lot? Now, for me to put my faith in this stool, I can't just step on it with one foot and say I'm standing on it, can I? I have to stand on it completely. And in the same way, faith means trusting completely. And we're not being asked by God to put our faith in something blindly, but to do it in seeing what is presented before us with absolute certainty. Jesus died. He was buried. He rose from the dead. His tomb was empty. People saw him alive. And all of this was to prove God's word is true. That those eyewitnesses, which in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a book you can find in the New Testament, up to 500 people witnessed Jesus and saw that he was alive after his death. And the question I have for you is this. Do you believe that this word is true? Or will you deny the evidence that is presented before you? Let's go into a time of discussion now. And if you'd like to consider the evidence in more detail, and there's two books I'd like to recommend to you. The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, and Your Verdict on the Empty Tomb by Belgrave. If you want information on those books, please come speak to me afterwards. But let's just go into a time of discussion right now. You'll see questions on your sheets just there, and then I'll just bring us to a close in a few minutes' time. Thank you.